yes, you're going to be alone for a period of time. Mm. Sometimes you're going to look around and there is no one in there. Just don't give up. Anything in your life, do not give up. You can let people giving up on you, but you do not give up on people.
In 1837, Horace Mann created the education system, a system at the time designed to pump out factory workers and professors, the same system that is still being used today in the 21st century. Now, Mann's system is backfiring. We are being molded by the same industrial system that has existed for close to 200 years. That system delivers us into a digital economy that has no need of our outdated skills. This isn't our teachers' fault. This isn't the government's fault. This is due to a rapidly changing world full of technology and unforeseen circumstances. And us Gen Zs are caught in the middle. Welcome to the Driven Young Podcast, the podcast for stressed, overwhelmed young Australians, teaching you practical life skills you can implement now to set yourself up in life. And now your host, Byron Dempsey.
Welcome back to the Driven Young Podcast. Today I have another awesome episode for you. In this episode, I sit down with Young Entrepreneur of the Year, Carlos Ferry, an entrepreneur who's been in the space for over a decade and has built an empire of successful high-growth companies with services in transport, logistics, warehousing, HR, and labor hire. All under the banner of Zapala Corporations, Ferry's enterprise has a global presence, met untapped needs, are scalable, and lift the efficiency of industries therein. 10 years ago, he made the decision to come to Australia from Brazil and decided to learn English. He realized about 12 months in, his English was getting better and he made a decision to start up the Zapala. 10 years later, he has more than 100 employees in Australia, Singapore, and Brazil. My chat with Carlos today is fantastic. I'm not even sure what to say because we cover so many different topics. We start off with his story and how he started from nothing when he moved to Australia and how he got to where he is, understanding how business works and the mindset we need to have, and so much more. Carlos is actually the second Brazilian I've had on the show. Gabriello from episode 18 was also from Brazil, and man, the two of them work hard. Because when far less fortunate people, such as these two guests, are able to move here, the opportunity is so clear to them and they do not stop until they get where they want to be. Anyways, I hope you enjoy this episode. Please shoot me a message on Instagram. I'm super responsive lately. Go to my personal Instagram, Byron Dempsey, and I'll respond to you there. And leave a review if you're enjoying the show. That would really mean a lot to me. Now, over to Carlos. Carlos, welcome so much to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
Super excited to talk about our conversation today. But before we get into entrepreneurship and all that sort of stuff we were just talking about, can you tell me a little bit about your story, kind of who you are? We'd love to know what you did after high school and what you're currently up to.
Well, for everyone who's watching me and listening to me, I'll probably be thinking that I'm 21, and you're right, I am. But if I actually get started on my story, I had actually a very nice structure in my family. So my dad was from the army. He worked pretty much 30 years on that, and mum was at home. So I quite learned, you know, how important it was to having your principles and having all that and discipline. Learning, go to school, discipline and, you know, all that kind of thing. But, life went on. And when I was about 13, I want to have more, games for my console. So I went to my dad, and even though my dad worked from the army at that time, it wasn't a lot of money, you know, laying around.
Sure.
So dad said, sorry, mate, can't do it. I was pretty upset, right? As any kid would be.
What console are we talking?
A Nintendo, right? Yeah, yeah. And then I was like, oh no, okay. Well, anyway, so, for a lot of people, they don't even remember, but, we used to have those places like Blockbuster. They could go and, you know, rent your game or, you know, your movie and stuff like that. So I had one just in the corner of my house. So I was pretty young. I went there and I talked to the guy and I said, look, I just really want to be able to play more games, but my dad doesn't have enough money. So how can I do it? It's like, well, you need to bring money. You need to pay for it. I said, what about if I work for you? And he's like, what? How old are you? And I'm like, well, kind of 11. And then he's like, no way. I can't hire you. Anyway, so that went, the next day and I said, hey, do you want to hire me? And he's like, no, I can't. So anyway, 2 weeks later, I was going every single day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I said, mate, I really want to work for you doing anything at all. He's like, okay, but I can't pay you. And I'm like, right, okay, fair enough. But at least I'm going to sort of have a bit of experience.
Yeah, yeah, foot in the door.
So after a week, the guy said, mate, you're really doing great here, you know, sweeping the floor and all that. So every day when you finish by the afternoon, you can actually take one game home and bring it the next day. So that, for a boy, thought, hang on, I should have asked him not for money or not for even work. Mm. Should have asked him for what I want.
That's what I was thinking when you're saying this. I was like, don't ask for money.
Exactly, right? And that's the biggest problem that I find when we actually talking to young people. They want something, but they actually ask something else.
Mm.
And it needs to be kept simple. But people, they just like, oh, no, 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 hang on. I can't do this. I can't do that. And even today, if you ask for people actually, would you work for free? To have experience or to, no, I won't do that.
Don't even get me started at this. I got a whole podcast on that.
Right? Yeah. And that's exactly the point. So my point was, so after then it was pretty easy for me now to have the games. I was watching that guy, you know, pretty much doing his thing. And I found out that he could speak English. And, you know, for who doesn't know me, I'm originally from Brazil. So my mother language is Portuguese. And when I saw that guy speaking English, which in fact he wasn't, people were just coming to the place to ask for movies. And then he said, oh, do you have a movie with that, you know, black, tall guy? And then he was going like, Denzel Washington.
Right, yeah.
And I'm like, what?
He didn't use certain phrases.
Right? And I was like, what? The guy can speak English. And then someone would come and say, oh, that lady, pretty tall, Demi Moore. And I was like, what? So for the boy, I had a dream to learn English. And at that point, I was thinking, wow, I can't believe it. See, my goal was just I want to play more games.
Mm.
And now look where I am, right? Or now I have a dream. But the thing is, with life, usually you get in a way that you forget how it really works. So you got a dream or sometimes you want to do something, but life takes you to a different direction. Oh,
100%, yeah.
And then what happens then when you notice it's 20 years and 20 years, you're like, oh, I'm not doing what I like.
Mm.
I don't enjoy what I do. Yep. And exactly what happened to me. So pretty much about, you know, 10 years went on and I was now, you know, professional. I had already my graduation, you know, I was working. I was an executive. I was making.
Did you study?
Yes, I did. I did business administration.
Yeah.
And for the entire time, oh, I've got so much stories on that, right? Because my first job, in fact, it was telling the teacher. So, okay, we were talking and the teacher was saying, oh, yeah, can you guys tell me your name and what do you do? And at that point, when I got started university, I had no job. Right. So I left that place and I was pretty much looking for something. Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, oh, yeah, my name is that. And I do this and I do that. And then everyone got to me. And I was like, yeah, my name is Carlos Ferry. And at the moment, I'm probably one of the best professionals in the market available looking for something. Everyone laughed themselves,
it's
right?
It was a fancy way of saying
it. Was a fancy way to say I don't have a job, but, you know, just looking for. So anyway, when we finished the class, my teacher came to me and said, hey, you'd be willing to do an interview to work with Audit? And I'm like, yes, okay. So anyways, that was when everything got started.
Mm.
I started working for PricewaterhouseCoopers as a trainee at that point. And then from there, my career went just up, up, up. And again,
you're just climbing a ladder, essentially?
Oh, yeah, pretty much. So one thing I learned from very young age on that story, you know, of my game,
mm-hmm.
if people won't give you what you want, you need to go around it. So one thing I learned from myself is you never give up. So giving up, in fact, when I was learning English, that was the last expression I learned. Because giving up, it's not part of my vocabulary, right?
Yeah.
And of course, everyone says that, right? So, but you need to leave what you say. And in my case, so you can talk to anyone who knows me from that time to now, that a lot of things in my life, they have changed. So 10 years ago, I couldn't speak English and look where I am, right?
Mm.
But the thing is, when you're actually looking for an opportunity, not always the opportunity will be 100% the way you want. And sometimes you want the place you want, the time you want, with people you want.
Or the degree you want.
The school you want to get into, whatever it is. And most of the times, you forget one simple thing. Be thankful for what you've got.
Mm.
Because a lot of people, they want that and you've got it.
Especially in Australia, right?
Oh, like, I don't get even started in Australia.
I mean, I love, I think it's one of the greatest countries in the world. I know statistically we're in like the top five or something.
Agreed.
And so it's like, just the fact that you're in Sydney or Melbourne, whatever place Australia you're in, you're already so far ahead and you've already got what so many people want. So if you didn't get into the school you wanted to, it's not a huge deal.
No, it's not. And that's exactly the point. So people, they forget one simple thing. So if you're not thankful for what you've got, to be honest with you, you do not deserve what is coming for you, right? And that's exactly the point. So when I was working then, being a professional already, you know, making a lot of money, I was an executive, right? So a situation happened to me. I went to, at that time, so I'm talking about around 11, 12 years ago. So at that time, who I will probably remember, Mr. Steve Jobs was just about, he just had actually launched the iPhone.
Right.
So I was
2007.
So 2009, a lot of those companies producing or manufacturing the iPhone in China, they were actually start manufacturing iPhones in different parts of the world. And the reason is demand. So I was at that time working in Brazil, and I was working for the largest mining company in Brazil.
Mm.
And they had one of the components that Apple would use, and one of the most important for the iPhone. So my job was pretty much going around every single one of those manufacturers and making sure they were actually using the right component, right? So I got there and it was so fine. I got to the second company, absolutely fine. So the third company who started manufacturing iPhones, I went to a meeting with my boss, and there were just 12 people in the company. None of them could speak English.
Wow.
Oh, sorry. None of them could speak Portuguese at that time. All of them speaking English. They were all Chinese.
Could you speak at this point?
No, not at all. Right? So I went there, I sat down, and my boss was just with me, right? We sat at the table all together, and they start having a meeting in English. Seriously, at 5 seconds, they would laugh. I would laugh.
Oh, right. You were just pretending.
Because I couldn't. I was just pretending. I couldn't understand what they're saying, a word, what they were saying. And then they would stop laughing, and then 5 seconds later, I would stop. And that situation just got really, really uncomfortable, right? So I was making notes. But in fact, if you could read what I was making note of, it was just nothing. I was just saying, idiot, idiot. I was writing that. And the reason I was writing that, it was because at that moment, after so many years, one memory came to my mind. Denzel Washington.
Yep. In the video store, English.
Right?
Yeah.
I didn't have the time. I didn't actually put my all what I had to actually learn English.
Mm.
And at that point, I knew I lost, right? So what I did, it was very interesting. So I kept, you know, my face up, my body, you know, just trying to say, yeah, no, I'm understanding, and looking at as if I was like the best guy in the world in that meeting. When I finished, I quit.
Right.
Spoke to my boss and said, mate, I'm sorry, but I can't keep doing that. He's like, what do you mean? We just got a new client. And I said, I can't speak English. He's like, what do you mean? I said, we never asked me. I never spoke English.
Mm.
He's like, really? I said, yes, really. He's like, but you were writing it down. You were just laughing and stuff. I said, well, I learned how to act, but really I can't. So anyways, when I quit, 30 days after that day, I was in Australia.
Mm. There you go.
And when I arrived here, do you really think I was an executive?
No.
Do you really think
especially
I was,
with no English.
Right? I was a student, and my first job was washing cars.
Mm.
And I wasn't actually happy about that. I don't know how many of you are actually complaining because you might be working, I don't know, KFC or McDonald's.
Yeah. But especially going from exec, like that's got to be humbling. Going from this high-paying job where you're probably in charge of a lot of people to another country where you're basically the lowest form because you can't speak any English. So, you know, who wants someone who can't speak English in a country that speaks English? That's tough. And so that's going to be very humbling to go from that to such a, you know, menial task.
And the only thing that took me through that, it was that first thing I mentioned to you.
Mm.
I didn't know what giving up meant.
Exactly, yeah.
So there was no chance I was going back after 6 months off my course. There was no chance I was going back to my country speaking what I used to call monkey English. I would never do that.
Mm-hmm.
Why? because my dad taught me that giving up, it was not an option. And it was not about that. Sometimes you have to. No. Giving up, it's not an option. It can change your idea.
Army kind of foundation right there.
That's right, right? You can do, you can be bullied. You can have problems at home. You may not have your parents with you. You may not, I don't care. Giving up, it's not about being an option. Giving up, it's not an option whatsoever, right? So I have two sons and one of them, he's five. And if you ask him, two things I taught him when he couldn't even speak, number one is, when you try and doesn't work, what do? You try again. And you can ask him that. He said, if you try, it doesn't work. What do? Try again. Do we give you up? Give you up? Give up. No, we don't give it up. And the reason for that is because if I had given up at that time, 6 months in Australia, so now I'm talking about 10 years later, and I'm the CEO of my company.
That you started?
I started from scratch. Mm. And you know how I started? Because I went to a company I was working for here in Australia, and I said to the CEO, so look, your customer service is not good at all, but look, I can help you. Mm. I can really help you, because I know, I used to do that. You know what she said to me? Your English is not good. And she was right. She wasn't wrong.
Mm, at this time, it was poor.
At that time, my English wasn't good. But that was the second step I took to make 100% sure I would actually be in charge of my life. Mm. And what was that? 3 weeks later, after that conversation, I bought my first truck. And after that, the whole thing is the stories, because she's now my client.
Mm.
I actually probably now make more money than her company,
right.
Which is not the point, see?
Yeah,
the point for me was to prove that what I was telling her, which it was, I can actually help you with your customer service, I could do it.
Mm.
And sometimes people get confused about what's really being an entrepreneur, right?
Yes,
so people, they want to become an entrepreneur, but in fact, they don't, because they don't want to pay the price. They want to be called an entrepreneur. They want to say, oh, yeah, I've got a startup.
They want to put it in their Instagram bio.
Oh, yeah, they want to do all that. And, you know, they want to take nice photos and nice this and go for, you know, podcasts or interviews or anything like that. But that's one thing that people forget about it, that being an entrepreneur, it's not about wanting to be an entrepreneur. It's becoming an entrepreneur.
Mm.
And no one gives that to you. You actually, you need to work on your craft. You need to actually work on things that you don't like it. You need to work on times you don't like it.
An entrepreneur, you're everything. You're doing accounting, you're managing team, you're implementing, like when you start off, you have to do everything. So if you're starting starting a business to be a dentist and you just want to do dentists, you're actually going to have to manage team, do marketing, sales. You're going to do very little amount of dentist work.
And why? And that's the point, see? And why do you have so many great dentists out there, but you've got just a few of them who actually really have a massive company?
Mm.
And it's simple to answer, because their guy made a decision to be a great dentist. And to be an entrepreneur, it doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
So about 5 years ago, so my company was already, we had already 100 employees or something like that. And I was actually the one doing two things, two main things. Number one, the finances and the payroll.
Mm.
That was me, right? So I couldn't, no, more than 5 years, probably about 6 years ago. And I couldn't really trust yet someone to do it that, right? Mm.
It's such an important part of the business.
It is very important. And, you know, you always hear these stories that people will steal from you and they will do this and they will do that. And see, for me, I couldn't speak English. Then I was speaking English. So I never thought I was going to have a company. Then I had a company. I never thought I was going to be the boss, really, like to pay bills and pay wages and stuff like that. And I was doing that. But then one thing that you asked me, so I, as I said, I graduated from business administration, and I never could find really a post-graduation or even MBA that actually told me, hey, you're really going to learn this and you're going to get great or better than what you are if you 100%. Study there, right? So I never went for it, right? Although what I notice is, as you said before, you need to do accounting. You need to learn financing.
It hit me like a truck when I started my business.
Right? I'll tell you one story about that. You're going to laugh. But so I didn't know anything really about that, because it wasn't really the core of my course. But guess what? Now I was learning everything that wasn't my core, but also in a different country.
Mm. Different language.
Right? In a different language. I made a mistake about 6 years ago, and I paid $24,000 more in wages because I made a mistake.
Mm.
So I called the tribunal here in Australia and I said, look, I overpaid. What can I do? She said, well, two things. You can call everyone and say, well, look, I made a mistake. You need to give them the money back.
Yikes. Yeah.
Or you need to swallow it. So I called my dad. And as I said, my dad was from the military, right? So I called him and I said, Dad, made a mistake. And he's like, and what about this mistake? And, you know, how does it work? And blah, blah, blah. So I explained everything to him. And he said, well, you made a decision to be an entrepreneur, right? Who told you that you're just going to win?
Mm. And that's a price, like when you become an entrepreneur.
But that day, it was Christmas Eve. And you know how much money I got left in my bank account after the mistake I made? $24. And that's the price that you pay.
100%.
To actually be able to call a CEO or to be called an entrepreneur. And people, they forget that.
An entrepreneur, like my mom, for example, has a business. I think she's got like nine women in an office, occupational therapy. She's a very talented occupational therapist. She could go out and get a job for $150,000 if she wants. The past 5 years of her business, she's been paying her employees more than herself. Mm-hmm. And that's very standard when you start a business. And so we think, you know, online, I think younger people especially, entrepreneurs become so sexy and it's become such a, as we mentioned, for the Instagram and everything and TikTok and all these different platforms promote entrepreneurship as a lifestyle rather than what it really is.
That's very interesting you said that. And as you know, we have a full day here. So let's get started on that conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't mind when people actually do that on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook. I don't mind it at all. To be very honest with you, in my opinion, we have two types of people in the world. You've got the ones selling and you've got the other ones buying it, right? The problem is, I want everyone who's listening to me to pay attention on one simple thing. First of all, if you're going to listen to someone who has done what they're telling you.
Yes.
That's the first thing you do. You do that in your life. You don't believe a friend if his friend said, oh, yeah, man, I was just driving. I was just doing this. And then I went there, sold my car, and I bought this. But really? He probably fabricated everything in his mind. And he's telling you. And you're like, nah, you haven't done that. Right? So, and because someone hasn't done that, why then you can believe someone that you don't know at all, but you're just seeing numbers, right?
And that's the thing. How many professors are teaching business at university and they've never run a business? Not only have they never run it, they've just never run a business. You know, they've been in the education section.
Exactly. And that's the second point I want to point it out, right? So the first one is you learn from someone who has done it. But the second one is this. What do you want for your life? Let's be honest here. You don't want me. You don't want it to be Carlos.
Outcomes.
Right? Outcomes. Mm. But some people, they look at that girl or that guy on Instagram, on TikTok. It's like, oh, I want to have those followers. Oh, I don't want to have these. I want to have that.
I want to be on the beach. I want to be holidaying. Beautiful. While earning money.
Right. Why?
Because so, it makes me feel good. What is it?
Yeah, and that's the point. People don't know how to answer why. They don't know why they're doing it. So one of my, probably one of the greatest actually talks I have, which I've done for TEDx already, it's called exactly that. What if? It's the answer. That's one of the most difficult answers that you can get from someone. What if? What if, you know, you could actually do that or that? But what if the results will be that or this? So, if you really want to learn something, if you really want to do something different, doesn't matter at university or not, outside, doesn't matter. You need to know why you're doing it.
Mm.
If you don't know why you're doing it, do me a favor, don't do it.
Yes. And it often it'll be, why am I doing it? Because my parents want me to. Because this is what success is. Being a doctor is what success is. So do you love the chemistry? Do you love the math, helping people? No, I want to earn good money. I want to be successful in the eyes of society or whatever it is. And it's like, why do you want to be a doctor? If it's because you want to help people, you love the chemistry, you love the math, you're willing. Keep in mind, doctors don't earn money for like 15 years. Well, you know, all these traditional pathways. It's like, why are you wanting to do this?
And that's the third thing. Be smart. Mm. Seriously. As you just said now, if you want to be rich, don't be an entrepreneur. Seriously, I'm telling you that. Don't be an entrepreneur, right?
95% of business owners fail.
Exactly. But the 5%, actually, the remaining 5%, these guys going to be working probably for 20 years after they can go and said, all right, I've done it. Now that's my legacy out there, right?
It's an iceberg effect where you've got the tip of the iceberg where you see all the money and all the success, but underneath is 90% of the iceberg, which is working for 10, 20 hours a day, blah, 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 and everything they sacrificed
exactly.
to get there.
Exactly. But that's the number four for me, legacy. Building a legacy, you don't build because you want to. Building a legacy is because every single decision you make, you're actually looking, how can I make this decision and be better? And stop comparing yourselves.
Yes, that's a huge, especially for the younger generation.
Oh, in fact, no, I'm wrong. Yes, keep comparing yourselves. But compare yourself to your older self. Compare yourself to your yesterday self. Stop comparing yourself to myself or to yourself, to herself. Stop it. And the reason is, I'm not here. I'm not a coach or anything like that. I'm not teaching anything. It's the other way around. Everything I'm telling you here, it's what I live, right?
Yeah.
So that's my story. That's part of my story. If you go online and you search for Carlos Ferry, you're going to see I'm always talking about exactly the same thing. And I'm probably going to be talking about the same thing for, you know, many years to come. Because what I've done so far until here, it doesn't mean that's going to take me to the next level. So one thing that we forget is life is actually cycles, right? So as I was saying in the beginning, that sometimes life will take us to a cycle that we don't know where it's going to take. So 99%
of... definitely will.
Right? And 99% of the times you're young and then your parents are taking care of you. Then you go to university. Then probably when you're there, you meet someone very nice. And then you guys probably going to start dating. And when you're actually finishing, you're probably going to buy a car. And after the car,
home loan.
Right? And then you're going to get probably married. After married, you're going to get a home. After a home, most likely going to have a kid. And when you finish that, you know what you're going to do? You're going to get a better car, a better home, probably another kid. And you know when you do it, when you finish that, you're probably going to get a better car, a better home. And that's what life does to us. And when you go and look at after 40 years, you look at it and say, what have I built? Well, I haven't built anything.
It's dangerous, though, because I'd ask those a lot to young people. What happens is people graduate, and as you said, let's say you're an exec. You're earning $100,000 a year. I've got all this money coming in. I'm going to buy a new car, get a home loan. Suddenly, you've created a lifestyle where you need to earn $100,000 a year for the next 20 years. Otherwise, you can't sustain that lifestyle. What if you want to go travel? What if you want to live in London for 6 months? What if you want to do something, you know, just take 6 months off or do something fun? You can't because you're trapped. And they upgrade to the cars and everything.
And that's exactly the trap that I don't want people to get in.
Yes,
I agree. So in my life, I always trying to do what was right. And most of the times, I forgot to do what was fun. Don't do that, right? And I can tell you that I'm still young and I'm doing everything I love about it. Yes, there are things I do that I don't love about it.
Of course,
But you have to. But when you do something with passion, and that's the difference between a entrepreneur and the, I guess I can call a fake entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Or someone who wants to be and not become an entrepreneur. So an entrepreneur, it does everything with passion. And when you do everything with passion, that's going to happen what happened to me last year. So I won an award of Young Entrepreneur of the Year in Australia.
Which is how I came across you.
Right? And that situation, for a lot of people, they're just like, oh, yeah, it's just one more award. Yes, it is. But for a guy who was born, in my case, in Brazil.
Couldn't speak English.
Couldn't speak English. 76 years of diplomacy between the two countries. I was the first Brazilian to win that award.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, congratulations.
Right? And that's awesome. The point, because when I was on stage and people asked me, Carlos, what can you tell us? I wasn't actually telling them about Carlos. I was telling them about every single young person, student, who actually goes out there, tries to make, you know, its life or trying to, you know, do the your studies or whatever it might be, but it tries actually to represent a community. It tries to represent. I don't know how many people are watching me or, you know, listening to me right now that they might like, oh yeah, I lost my parents when I was young.
Mm.
Oh, you know, I was just, you know, having issues. I was bullied or I was this or was that. Hey, stop it.
Everyone has stuff happen to them.
Everyone has a problem. I'm not saying that's a minor problem. That's the other way around.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that problem has to be your self-motivation.
Mm.
So I was bullied when I was young, a lot, and by a lot of people, part of my family. But you know what that actually made me? That made me who I am today.
And builds up that resilience.
Exactly. Mm. But you don't know that. And that's
the time.
Thing. There are a lot of people, they're trying to sell you. Oh, yeah, you need to be resilient. You need to be this. You need to do that. You need to do that. And you guys probably can notice that. I don't mind and I don't care at all if when I'm speaking, I made a mistake on a grammar, I made a mistake on a word. Yeah, yeah. Or that. No one cares. But you know the difference between me and you? It's one simple one. I'm never going to give up.
Mm.
So if someone goes against me, for example, in a competition, they're going to lose. That's it. They will lose. And why? Because I will keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it and pushing it until I win, not until I'm tired.
And I feel like, you know, I guess that giving up links back to what you mentioned at the very beginning of the continually going back to the video store owner, right? I feel like so many people, and I see it, I don't feel like this. This is a fact for our generation in Australia. They'll apply for like one job and they won't hear back and they'll be like, oh, and they'll lose all motivation and they'll think, oh, I can't. And listen, like Kevin Hart, I think it did like 400 pitches before he got to go on stage or something like that. Like Pete, you just got to keep going, keep going, keep going. As you said, another person, Harvey, I had on the show, said the exact same thing as you. He wanted to work for an accounting firm because he wanted to learn from them. He said, hey, I want to work for you. No. And they said, hey, congratulations. You've got a new accountant. You don't have to pay him, but he'll do whatever you want. He'll get coffee, he'll sweep floors, whatever you want. And the guy just said, whatever. Okay, fine. You're in. And that's how he got his foot in the door. And now he just sold his accounting company for, I don't know, a lot of money.
And that's exactly the point. So we always comparing ourselves to other people. And you're wrong.
Mm.
There is one ingredient on that situation that actually makes the whole difference. And it's called time.
Mm.
If I'm comparing myself to yourself right now, I'm probably going to be, richer than you, wiser than you, or I don't know. It doesn't matter. But if I'm comparing myself to my old self, see the difference here? I have to be wiser than my old self. I have to be richer than my old self.
And that's like that comparison thing. It's like a great example I hear is when you're going to the gym, you're just comparing yourself to a week ago. Have I put on muscle or lost weight from a week ago? I'm not comparing myself to everyone else in the gym who's ripped and is, you know, full of muscle and everything.
And that's the beauty, because I remember once I had a conversation with one of my employees and I asked her and I said, hey, it's my job to prepare you to be a leader, right?
Mm.
It's the next level that you're going to get. And then I asked her, do you want to be a leader? She's like, not entirely sure about that. And I said, okay, explore that to me. She's like, look, I like to do this. I like to do this. I like to do that. But really what I'm looking for, it's make 100% sure that, you know, money-wise, I'm recognized by what I do.
Mm.
But I'm not entirely sure I'm actually that person to be a leader, to be, you know, out there talking and this and that. And it took me a few minutes to think about it. I was like, wow, that's amazing, right? Because what people teach you is that you have to be the manager. You have to be the director. You have to be the boss. And if you're not, you're bad.
Mm.
If you're not, that's because you're not good.
But not everyone's suited for those roles.
And that's the point. When people are telling you, you know what you do? The other day I was doing a talk in one of those virtual talks to students of 11 universities here in Australia, right? All these many people then, and you know, I couldn't actually hear them, but I could kind of feel the energy kind of thing. And one thing I was telling them is exactly this, because one of the questions that came up was, what do you do when someone negative, you know, it's sort of pulling down all the time? How do you deal with it?
Mm.
And then I said, you don't deal with it. You just get away. Oh, but what about if it's family? You get away.
Mm.
You respect, but you get away. You don't deal with that.
Distance yourself.
That's it. right? So it doesn't matter if that's your partner. I'm sorry to say, but you need to change your partner or the person changes. Because the thing is, when someone is trying to pull you down, you need to be ready to fight against everything else around you. And when you get home, the only thing you need is to recharge your batteries, right?
Yes.
And it doesn't matter if you are 15 or if you are 40. Everyone wants something, right? So when you're in a relationship, it's exactly the same. Why relationships sometimes they don't work? For two simple things. Of course, there is an intimacy and that sometimes doesn't work. And that's exactly the same with business partners. Sometimes you build a company and then you out there making money, everything is working, and then things start just going wrong kind of thing. And you see that the intimacy between the business partners, that it's not in there anymore. The mission hasn't actually been in the both heads and kind of thing. So it's not their plan anymore. But the second most important thing is when people, they just keep doing those things that they don't like it. Right? So if someone is pulling it down all the time and you're like, oh yeah, but that's my business partner. Oh, but that's my manager. But that's...
It's not an excuse.
It's not an excuse. And I'm telling you this. I have dealt with that for so long. And one of my employees, it's nice, right? Because everything I say, I do read a lot, but I do actually like to tell things that happened to me. And one of my employees, I had a situation that was happening to me pretty much every year. And then I was talking to her and she's like, hey, Carlos, there's a situation here. I think, you know, this place where we've got the office here. And at that point, we had one of our offices was in a co-working space. And then she was like, feeling that the energy here is a bit funny. And I was like, don't worry about that. I don't even believe what you're talking about. And it's like, no, look, that's this. And then she showed me that. We moved away from that place. Everything start working back again. So what I mean by all of that is you need to trust your gut. Sometimes people will tell you, and I can tell you things, but it doesn't mean I'm 100%, you know, for you. That 100% means a lot to me, but that my 100% doesn't mean really 100% for you. And that's one of the things that, in my opinion, sometimes we get caught because, as I said, life is a cycle, right? So, for example, now I'm happy. I've got my companies. Yes, I lost a lot of money since March because of the COVID-19.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot.
But that's being an entrepreneur, right?
Right. And when I'm saying a lot, sometimes I think about it and it was like, wow, how come, right? All of that happened. But the one thing that kept me going, you know what was? From day one, I spoke to my staff and I said, guys, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to be 100% transparent with you all. I'm going to tell you what's going on. I'm going to tell you where we're going and I'm not going to give up. So you're free to give up, but I am not going to. So if you're leaving me, that's fine. I understand. But if you're staying with me, we will come on top of that. And when we do, things will be different. And again, we don't know for how long it's going to, you know, sort of last. But the one thing that I get people sometimes asking me now is exactly, but how can you do that? It's not about how. It's about just doing it. A lot of people, they think, and they think too much.
Oh, no, that's a different thing. But, yeah, I mean, it's Nike's Just Do It, right? And this is a big – I think so many people will plan and plan and plan. Let's say I want to start a business. I want to start a podcast or something, and they'll never do it. They'll just keep saying it and saying it. It's like just pick a date and start then.
And this is so interesting because when you do something like that – and then here we go. Now it's a little tip, and that's for free. But if you want to actually pay me for it, you can go to my website. No, I'm joking. But it's a really – advice here for all of you, right? So if you think that you want to do something, do it and think through it. Yeah? Don't think everything, all options, but it could. No. You think, yes, and then you test it. That's what we call an IT MVP, right? Technology, you go and do your minimum viable product. So don't spend too much time doing it. Go and test it.
And because if you spend a year making something and you didn't, and you put it out there and no one wanted it in the first place,
right?
It's like, what a waste. I could have done it in a month, tested it.
But guess what happens in the mind of an entrepreneur? When I see someone doing that and doing it right, you know what we do? We want people better than us working with us.
For sure.
That's what you need to understand. Boss wants people not as good as them working with them because they are the top. Entrepreneur, always they want people better than themselves working with them. And the reason there are a lot of companies, they thrive, it doesn't matter if that's now or not, but why they thrive is because 99% of the times, the entrepreneur, the CEO, the founder, he's a humble guy or humble girl who just really wants to actually make sure the mission will get accomplished.
Yes, and the reason I started the business.
Right? It doesn't matter if someone is smarter than them. It doesn't matter if someone made a mistake. Yeah. They're always going to take the responsibility. But the point is, a lot of people, they turn around and they said, oh, yeah, I want to work for that guy because whatever. Don't think just like that. Think that I want to work with that guy because he's bloody good, right? But I know if I can add my knowledge to what he's got, oh my gosh, that guy's going to fly.
Mm.
And that is one of the reasons that in 10 years, pretty much that I've been in Australia, I've accomplished everything I have. That's not because I'm good.
You hire people who are better.
I do have people better than me in my business, right? So I might know a little bit here and there, but definitely they better than me on certain things.
Oh, for sure.
And that's exactly the mistake a lot of people make when they're looking for a job. So I have, as we, you know, in a country there, we do have a lot of immigrants, and I do have a lot of people, they come to me and ask for a job. And I love that, right? Because when I actually do my talks, I say, if you want to work for me, just apply with me. But you need to prove to me that you're better than me.
And what value you're going to provide. You mentioned this. Oh, I wanted to point it out before. When you went to the video store, you said, oh, was it the video store? Well, there's one where you said, you went in and you said, I'll work for free. All I want is a video game. So for him, you've gone in and you said, I'll fix a problem, which is you don't have to tidy and sweep. I'll do that. And all I'm asking is for a video game. And the video company, it doesn't actually cost them anything because at the end of the day, you're just taking the video games that haven't been rented
yet. It's going to be sleeping there.
Yeah, exactly. And so if there's no cost for him and there's only benefits, it's hard to say no. If you go with someone and propose something like that, like Harvey did, well, you're not going to pay me anything. I'll do whatever you want. How could he say no?
That's exactly the point I want to get. If you're really good at what you do, tell people about it, right? Don't tell yourself. Tell people about it.
And people won't do this because they don't want to be too cocky or, you know, they want to be
humble.
But
that's the other way around. Get it done. So, for example, if you tell me, say, Carlos, I'm very good on doing podcasts. You know what I'm going to tell you? Say, mate, that's great. I actually have a lot of contacts that we could have on that podcast. You know what you're going to tell? Mate, let's get everyone in. You're not going to go like, yeah, you know, but usually we you know, we've got this schedule and then, you know, we need to go through the resume and then the CV. I say, yeah, okay, no problem. Call me next year.
Yeah.
Right? So, people, they are aligned to the same idea and the same goals. They think alike, right? So one day I was thinking about that. So I read somewhere, which is pretty famous anyway, and now I repeat. Build your network.
Oh,
if you ask me that, why you should go to university, and I know people say, nah, don't go, it's, you know, BS, but go to university. Oh, that's for sure, go there, right? But the goal, the objective of going to university is shifting from what it was before to what it really should be, right? But
the problem is people go to university and just do the bare minimum. They won't build their network. They won't attend events. They won't go to stuff. All they're doing is just getting the degree.
Exactly.
And it's like,
because they think, well, our parents and the parents of our parents told them you need to have a degree.
Degree equals job.
Right?
It doesn't.
But you don't need to go far. You just go around the world. And there is a little place that was little, but now it's pretty much iconic, called Harvard Business School. And if you think and study what Harvard does, you're going to understand that at that moment, at that point, all the way back when they were founded, they said, we use school for business. And business, yes, you're going to get a degree, but business, you do you get actually doing business.
Mm.
And if you think about most of the CEOs of the 500 biggest companies in the US, I would say probably half of them probably went to Harvard. It doesn't matter if they're immigrants or not, right? Mm. Because a lot of immigrants, they go to the US to actually get studies in there. And as well as I could, you know, say Oxford and here in Australia as well, right? So the point is, one important thing that you could not actually make the mistake that a lot of us here right now made, invest in your network,
mm.
right?
And one, I was talking to a mate who was telling me he's in university and some of his friends, so he got a scholarship, that's why he's there, but some of the guys didn't get a scholarship and they're like ridiculously wealthy. And, you know, I think they've probably spent, you know, $500,000 on his entire education, which is ridiculous. But it's, and we're talking to the guy, the dad who spent the money on his kids, and it's like, well, you went to a public school, don't you? You know, you kind of came from nothing. Why are you putting your kids through private school? He's like, he doesn't care about the education of the private school. The only reason he's putting them private is because he wants them to be well networked, and he knows the connections that the teachers are going to provide him, and all the other people, and he knows he's going to make friends with all these other kids who's he's going to meet their fathers and their mothers who are going to be great connections for them. That's the reason.
Exactly. And why we know that? Because we listen to someone saying that and we actually know that someone has done that.
Mm.
And now that you're listening to us, pay attention on that. Don't pay the price. Someone has paid already the price for you, right? And I tell all my friends, you know who was the first person in my family to go and do an exchange program outside of my home country? Me. And you know why? Well, because I had a situation, I had the money, and then I made the decision. Do you think it was easy to quit a job? I was making 7 figures a month.
You went from exec to car washing.
Right? Do you really think that was easy?
Mm-hmm. No way.
Right? Do you think that my first day at the car wash, when I actually got off the bus 16 blocks away from the place I was supposed to, and I was walking those 16 blocks, do you think I was crying and calling myself an idiot? Why?
Mm.
Right? I left everything that I built until that point to actually do what? I couldn't see further than that. I thought I was just going to be, you know, a car washer guy for whatever, 6 months. I was staying in Australia and going back, speaking a monkey English and actually telling people, you know, how great experience I had to wash a Ferrari that belonged to somebody else.
Yeah.
So, and that's the point, and that's why a network is very important, because when you can't see further than where you are, that's what your network is going to do. Mm-hmm. And what I was going to compliment on that, because you might actually not have yet a chance to build that network with people maybe like me or maybe like you or maybe, you know, like other founders out there, you know what you do? You read. Because you are the average of the 5 people they spend your time with, right? Yeah. And it doesn't mean, and no one told anybody, that their 5 people need to be face-to-face with you. So when you actually read a book...
Right, there you go.
Right? When you read a book, and you're reading a book that someone actually had maybe their thoughts, their ideas, and they put in there, or maybe even their story, and they put in there, it's the same as they telling you their story, right? So... I don't know if you know the whole story behind Salesforce.
What is Salesforce, just for listeners?
Salesforce is pretty much the largest CRM company in the world, right?
Yeah. Which is what businesses run through CRMs.
Yes, that's a way for you to, I guess, manage the relationship that you've got with your customers.
Yeah.
You know, you put all your data, your details in there and all that.
It's a pivotal part of a business.
That
CRM.
Is correct, right? So that's pretty much your, you know, your notebook, your spreadsheet in one place.
Mm.
And when he was actually building that, a lot of people don't know he was an executive of Oracle. And for who doesn't know who Oracle is one of the largest database companies in the world. Well, now they are ERP company. So they are a major system that it's run by pretty much a lot of large corporations in the entire world. So I was reading his book called Trailblazer. So you should actually go in and read about it. So what he was telling about that why he actually created Salesforce is, first of all, because he was making a lot of money at Oracle, a lot of money, but he wasn't happy. And when he was a child, his father had a few stores within San Francisco Bay Area. And then he was on a Sunday, rather than me playing, he was actually going around with his father to actually make sure the stock was okay in all stores, to make sure that everything was fine. And he would always watch his father calling the managers or calling big customers and say, happy birthday, you know, today's your birthday, and making, you know, cards and all that kind of thing. So when he built Salesforce, he actually was trying to achieve an easier way for people like his father to manage the relationship and not actually necessarily be on the road all the time with their kids.
He identified a problem.
Right? So today, Salesforce, it is the largest company, the largest CRM company in the world for that reason. Because he didn't think about, I'm going to build a company because I'm going to build a company because I want to make money or because I want to be this or because I'm the Bay Area.
The lifestyle.
And a lot of people in Australia, we make that mistake here right now. We see what's happening in the US and then we copycat, right? So remember those deals website? You know, the Groupons kind of thing?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
That was it. A lot of people saying, oh, yeah, they're disrupting the market and they're doing this and they're doing that and rah, rah, rah. Seriously? No, they were copycat, right? The Uber Eats, it's a copycat because Uber Eats one thing, and then you've got other companies who went there and said, okay, what about if I do this just for delivering food?
So many companies, Google wasn't the first search engine.
Right?
Facebook wasn't the first social media platform.
Exactly. And what people forget is exactly this. So you can do anything you want if you're really going to do it with passion. And what people forget is this. Why is Facebook now as powerful as it is? And just to remind the one thing, I can't remember exactly the year. I think it was 2012, if I'm not wrong, when they actually IPO'd in the US. They didn't have actually profit at all. You know, Amazon, 5 years ago, they were not making any profit at all, right? AWS, which is pretty much the web services for Amazon, that now it's being sold to other companies and not just to serve Amazon, 10 years ago didn't exist. And that's the largest one in the world. So what I'm trying to say here is this. So do not get pressured by people doing better than you. And then it's just like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to do it.
Focus on yourself.
That's improving yourself.
Focus on yourself from a week ago or 12 months ago.
And talk to your team. If you do have already a team or if you're part of a team, talk. Bring people together. Ask, hey, I can feel it. Hey, let's the energy, let's put all together here. Let's do it. Because if it doesn't work, at least you know it's not going to work. But you know what? You're never going to look back and said, I didn't try. And the worst thing it is, so I had so many employees, the life of my company. And a lot of them I kept in contact. Why? Because they just left. Their moment with the company was gone, which is fine. But don't forget one thing. Every time you start something, you need to finish in the same way. But you can't just think about yourself. You need to think about the company as well. For example, you go there and the company signs a massive deal and you're going to be the one responsible for it. And then the company that you actually signed a deal with goes behind you and tries to poach that person from you. Oh, yeah, I'll pay you 40% more. Don't do it. You know why?
Because you're going to lose that relationship.
Well, first of all, you're going to lose the relationship from the company to begin with. And with losing the relationship, you're probably going to lose the respect. And that company who did that, do you really want to work with a company who does that?
Yeah, no.
But sometimes you do because of the money. Don't do it. I know it's tempting. Don't do it.
And then they'll do it and then they'll create a lifestyle, as we mentioned. And now they're working a job they don't like and they can't quit because if they quit, they're not going to get a job that's paying as well and they can't sustain their new nice car and everything.
Until that company is gone or they fire you.
Yeah.
And then after 10 years, 15 years, you're going to realize how happy you were. But then you made a decision to go for the wrong reason.
It's just following your passion. I like to say, because the question a lot of young people get is, you know, what do you want to do with your life? What is your passion? It's such a hard word, hard thing to say. And I like to just say, follow what excites you. Whatever excites you or kind of lights you up, just head in that direction.
And that's a very funny thing here, right? So I'm gonna be completely different than, you know, probably everyone you already had here in the podcast. But look, it doesn't matter what you want. If you tell me that you want to work with, you know, the porn industry, go for it. Mm. If you want to work, you know, and do, I don't know, movies, go for it. Until 10 years ago, no one even realized that Australia had actors. Mm. Look at now. Every single movie or series that we see on Netflix or any other channel or big actually producing place, they have an Australian there. And some people are Australians and we don't even know about it.
Yeah, we don't realize they're ours.
Right? That's the point. Do you really think when they got started on maybe Home and Away, they, you know, thought they're going to become what they are?
Mm.
No, they're not. There is a story of a guy who, when I was young, he became pretty much my idol, right? I don't have a lot of idols, but he became one of them. So I don't know how many of you follow Formula One, right? The racing sport. And there was a guy called Ayrton Senna, right? So that guy has died about 20, 25 years ago, if I'm not wrong. But why that guy was an idol? For a few reasons. So number one, so his father was a doctor, right? And he was always racing with carts and stuff like that. He didn't need to, but he could because his father had money.
Mm.
When he jumped, you know, and then went to from one category to another one and then, you know, went on and on and on and on. So he went to Formula One, was pretty much with the worst team Formula One had at that point, right? Lotus. And he couldn't really, like, sometimes not even finish the race because the car would break down.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay. So, and that situation for a country, so he was Brazilian. So that situation for a country who's following a fellow that's from your country, it's kind of like a hope, right? So he's not driving himself. He's driving the hope of a country on him. And then what happened? So there was another company, McLaren, who saw that, how amazing that driver was. He said, you know what? We're going to give him a chance. And they did. And what happened with that was he started actually become race after race, the best driver they've ever seen. And the reason he did that, he would actually be the first one to get in and the last one to leave every single day.
Same with like Ronaldo. He's right? In 4 hours before training.
Exactly the same. And then I can tell you exactly the same as Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant.
Pick
and all
any
these.
Of the top athletes
exactly,
or whatever.
Exactly, right? Why they are the top athletes. And that's what I don't want you to forget here right now. Because they worked on their craft. Don't come to me with the BS saying, oh, yeah, but he's more talented than me.
Mm.
If you work harder than him, your work ethic will actually overcome his talent.
Mm.
And people forget that. You know why I never give up? Because I know if you're more talented than me, I'm going to work you, probably work harder than you. My work ethic will actually surpass yours.
Mm.
Right? And that's what people cannot understand. And you know why you can't understand? Because you're always comparing yourself to someone.
The person who has a talent in this case. Comparing
right?
To, oh, I can't, what's the point of even going for the job when this person's going for it?
When it was raining, Ayrton Senna was the first one to get in and the last one to leave. And people would say, are you crazy? It's raining. Are you out of your mind? I said, no. How many actually races are won under the rain? So if I keep training, it's not what's going to happen. Everyone will be afraid and I'm going to be comfortable.
Mm.
You know, who won all the races that was raining when Ayrton Senna was racing? Him.
And when it's dry, you're now better.
So now if you want to know more about him, there is a movie about him, Ayrton Senna. You go online and you're going to find that and you watch. Every single driver in the world respects him. Do you know Lewis Hamilton? You ask him. Lewis Hamilton was probably as young as myself when he was watching Ayrton Senna.
Mm.
And now everyone knows him because he's one of the current champions.
Mm.
You ask him who is his idol. And that's one of the things they cannot forget. All that we spoke here today, yes, it's fine. You know, you've got a couple of advices here, a couple of tips there. But you need to have someone that you can look up to it. And if your parents are not those people, if your brothers, maybe not, if some of your friends are not, just pick someone. You don't need to know that personally, but pick someone that you can look up to and say, okay, wow, that work ethic is something unbelievable.
I've done those heaps online because right? You like Gary Vaynerchuk and all these people, all these business people putting out stuff online. Gary changed my whole mindset about work. Like you hear his story and stuff, I've just heard it like five times. You're like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And so instead of comparing myself to my friends or my family or whatever, I compare myself to him or like and go, that's the standard I'm going for.
Yeah, no, but that's the point. So you need to compare it to yourself because you can go much more than him, right? So a lot of people, when I got to Australia, they said, oh, man, you're not going to have a good English. You're not going to have these. You're not going to do that. I won a bloody award last year. And a lot of people that I was actually, you know, talking to and they were teaching me, they never did. And that's the beauty of actually when you're comparing everything you're doing to yourself. Because there's no limit. There's absolutely no limit. I don't know what's your goals. Your goals might be different than mine. So I remember once I was in an interview and someone said, oh, you know, and you know, well, how are you going to feel when you make your first million? And I looked and I was like, wow, I already made my first million. I can't remember even when.
Yeah.
Didn't feel anything.
It's not a priority.
Right? Because for a lot of people, when they say numbers, when they say things you achieved, that's when they recognize that you're good or not.
Yeah.
You don't need to be good for people.
Well, do you know how many people want to be a millionaire by 25 or something? It's dangerous because it's like you're going to start a business for the sake of it, not because you found a problem. Like everything we've just said, all the examples you gave, these people found a problem and just kind of became an entrepreneur through it. They didn't go, I want to be a millionaire. How do I make it happen?
Some people, they ask me how many hours I work in my business. And I tell that and I say, I've got no idea. Probably if I'm awake, I'm working on my business. And the reason is that my business is, I want to make 100% sure that companies, they do the right thing. So I work with technology. So I want companies to actually use technology, not as the ending solution, as the how they're going to get the ending solution.
Yeah.
Because their solution might be, I don't know, transport. Their solution might be, I don't know, selling a product, a service. I want to make sure that whatever I do in between, it's contributing to that. And if I can use my story, if I can use everything I lived until here to tell other people, say, hey, don't make those mistakes, I'm going to do it. And why I'm going to do it? Because I'm going to make money? No. Just because I wished I could actually have met someone like myself.
Yes.
Back then, who could actually be telling me things that, you know, he was going through at that point that I couldn't listen to it. And I was like, whoa.
That's why I started this podcast, because like what would I have wanted when I was 16, 17 in high school? And I kind of had it, but I was like, I created something specifically for young Australians. It was like, that's why I started, because I am my ideal listener. I still am. Like I still get heaps of value from this. But, you know, when I was 16, 17, 18, this is something I would have loved. And I was like, that's it. I'll create the podcast.
And that's the point, right? So you get that guy, forgot his last name, Joe.
The podcaster?
Yeah.
Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan. I was going to say Gogan, but that's close. Rogan. Yeah. he made $100 million deal now. He just signed it with Spotify.
And Spotify's, did you see their value went up by $1 billion?
Exactly, right? And that's the point people forget. Don't think short of yourself. If you're building something that you believe will change the world or other people's lives, keep pushing it. There is no time, there is no reason, there is no explanation, there is no, sometimes not even why you're doing it the way you're doing it. You know that the why is because I want to make a difference. If you want to make a difference, you go there and you do it. And sometimes, and now I'm opening my heart here and saying, yes, sometimes you're going to doubt yourself.
Oh, for sure.
Yes, sometimes you're going to cry. Yes, sometimes you're going to look at the mirror and say, am I doing the right thing? Yes, sometimes you're going to talk to your staff and say, do you really think I'm doing the right thing here? What's wrong with that? Right? We're all humans here.
It's part of the journey.
right? So again, when people are teaching online, you know, for you to be millionaires and this and that, and investing on shares and doing this and doing that, I'm fine with that. They probably actually try, what they should be telling you is they're trying to sell you all the time they researched to bring something all beautiful and nice packaged for you. That's what they should be telling you. They're not.
And they're selling the dream as well.
Right? So they're selling something that they shouldn't, in my opinion, but they should be selling just that. Look, I spent some time researching, putting everything together here and make 100% sure you've got a really smooth way for you to learn this or that or whatever it might be. And most likely, if you do this, you're going to get there, right? Mm. So that's what's probably going to happen. But look, you know, I'm here. Everything I'm teaching is for free. It's online. You can go in and search for it. And by the way, I've got some links here. You can go for it.
Mm.
The point is, and that's again, I'm going to tell you, are you the one buying it or are you the one selling it? There are no third person on that story, right? There's no, and when there is a third person, it shouldn't be on that negotiation, which that's those, you know, I couldn't call anything else, but that's those fake entrepreneurs, right? They just trying to be in between a relationship, a business relationship that shouldn't exist. So people should be paid for their time and for their what they do. That's for sure. But you also should be actually the one showing people that you can do it. Because a lot of people, oh man, how many times I met people who would tell me a lot. But when they start doing it,
oh yeah,
not even 10%.
This is why I bring on guests for my show, because it's like I want to cover all these different topics. I'm not going to cover certain depression and stuff and mental health when I've never experienced it. So I bring on an expert. I bring on someone who can, so I can talk, bounce ideas off them. We can get their perspective. So that way it's genuine.
Yep.
And I'm not, you know, I'm not, because it feels disingenuous for me to talk about certain topics that there's only one or two topics I would be comfortable educating people on that I know I could actually bring value to. Everything else, I just bring on guests like yourself.
Exactly. And that's exactly the point. And for people who is listening, I think the only thing they really want to make 100% sure, at some people will be telling them things that it's not going to be applicable for them, applicable for them. So they're not going to be like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Probably a lot of things I'm saying here right now, which 99% is from my story, going to be like, oh, okay, but I was born in Australia. I speak English since, I don't know, 3, 4, 5. So everything that Carlos said, it was cool. But, you know, but again, if you really listen to what I said, what I'm saying here, that's things that if you don't know that, I actually charge to tell people. Because what people want, they want to learn things you already went past because they don't want to make those mistakes. And that's what we call the mentorship.
And how much, and if you think about it, like $24,000, you made a mistake. What if you paid someone $1,000 to sit down with you and then they help prevent that mistake?
That's
correct. $23,000 profit.
That's correct. And the reason that I'm invited all the time to speak everywhere, companies, universities, or even from the government, is because I'm telling what I lived. I'm telling what I went through. And again, if you can learn from that and you're very smart, and you actually add your passion to it, it doesn't matter if there are, you know, KFCs or McDonald's or whatever there is out there, you can do it. As you said, Facebook, fine. MySpace was around. All the artists was using.
Think I can't do it because there's other people doing it. There's always been actors, musicians.
Just think like this. I don't know how long we've got here. We're probably...
We'll wrap it up after
you
this.
You know, wrapping it up. So think like this. Whatever you're doing right now, right? Always there will be people, they know more than you.
For sure.
Right? Don't focus on them to teach them or compare yourself to them. Focusing on people who know less than you. They are the ones you can teach. Right? It's always going to be there forever. I'm a CEO of my own company and I'm very happy where I am. But don't believe for a second that there won't be people better than me. That's for sure. I'm not focusing on them. With them, I want to learn from them. I want to listen from them. I want to be networking with them, right? That's what I do. But everybody else below me, I'm here to help. I'm here to teach. I'm here to share. I'm here to learn from you. It's an exchange. But a lot of the times you're going to be taking everything I'm dropping everywhere. If that's in a talk, if that's a podcast, if that's a video, that's on my Instagram, doesn't matter. I'm going to be dropping my knowledge everywhere I go, every time I'm talking. So, and that's what you should do. It doesn't matter if you're 18, if you're 20, if you just, you know, started in university, doesn't matter. Just always think about that. Someone better than you, someone not yet where you are.
And that's what I'm doing.
That's it.
That's why my podcast is for young people.
You focus on that, you put your head down, and you work. So Mike Tyson used to say that. You know what? You know, it's so many stories, man. You know why? Really know why Mike Tyson actually start fighting?
Stopped or started?
No, he started.
Started, yeah.
Because the last fight that Muhammad Ali fought, he lost.
Yeah.
And the guy made sure that he actually, the way he did, Muhammad Ali actually couldn't really come back to it and had all that situation with, you know, the black people in the US at that time and all of that. And both of them actually were, you know, black people. So anyways, Mike Tyson, when it happened with Muhammad Ali, so Mike Tyson called Muhammad Ali and said, I'm going to want to fight against him for you. And that's what's passionate about. You don't forget. If you promise, you get it done.
Don't give up.
So don't give up. It just don't give up. Keep pushing it, but keep your eyes open. And that's for me how it worked. And that's probably what I'm going to be teaching for the rest of my life.
Awesome. Carlos, just before we wrap up, so just so I always ask all my guests this question, and you've probably already answered it, but what would your number one piece of advice be for the younger generation, 15 in high school, early uni, coming out of uni, that sort of area? What would your number one piece of advice be for them?
Don't give up.
Yeah.
Don't give up. Keep pushing it. Don't give up. Yes, you're going to get setbacks. Yes, you're going to get people who hate you or you're going to be competitive against you. Going to say some things going to really make you feel unhappy, uncomfortable. Yes, you're going to be alone for a period of time. Sometimes you're going to look around and there is no one in there. Just don't give up. Anything in your life, do not give up. You can let people giving up on you, but you do not give up on people, giving up on people. If that's the only thing you need to learn in your life, it's that one. If you've got two things to learn, that's number one. Number two is discipline.
Yes.
That's it.
Shouldn't have brought this up so late in the show, but yes, 100% agree with discipline.
So one of the things that made me who I am is actually the two things that made me who I am is those two things. Never give up. And I'm disciplined in what I do. If I need to work 16 hours, I will. If I need to wake up at 5, I will. If I need to, you know, sleep at 2 and be up at 5, I will. No excuse, no Saturday, no Sunday, no happy birthdays, no nothing, nothing. It doesn't matter what's happening around me, right? So those two things, they made me who I am, and they're probably going to actually keep me going for a long time. Right? Not comparing myself to anybody.
Just
happy
yourself.
Where I am, right? Always comparing to myself. And I'm so happy when I wake up every day because, oh yeah, I can feel how much better I am from yesterday.
Awesome. Carlos, thank you so much for coming on the show. And for any listeners who want to find out more about you, you know, reach out or come, you know, follow you online, what's the best place to go?
You can go to my LinkedIn. So you go there, search Carlos Ferry, or you can go to my Instagram. It's Carlos Ferry AU. And then you're going to see me there. DM me.
All the links will be in the description.
Yeah, DM in there. You know, send a message. But yeah, just get in touch. And again, you're not by yourself. I was where you are. I was already where pretty much you are. So just come along.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. If you are still here, thank you so much for listening to this entire episode. If you got some value out of it, it would mean the world to me if you left a review on iTunes or shared it with your friends or family. Otherwise, I'll be putting up videos of this episode on Instagram and Facebook. So check it out there at Byron Dempsey or at Driven Young Podcast. And I'll see you on the next one.